of Prophecy broadcast. In this hour of the world's greatest crisis, hear a unique revelation and message by Brother Ray Pringle, a man anointed to be a prophet of God. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight, as saith the prophet. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.
The message is entitled Sanctification. Sanctification is a doctrine of the Word of God which has almost been completely cast aside or has been erased out of the minds of most of the people of our generation. But back in the generation I was born to, in the 30s and 40s, sanctification was one of the cardinal doctrines of the Church of the Living God. Most all churches had this doctrine at their beginning. The old-fashioned Methodist church that if John Wesley would come back today, they would never let him preach in their churches anymore. The cardinal doctrine of the Methodist church was holiness or sanctification. And holiness and the two words in the Bible are synonymous, which is holiness and sanctification. So it's very easily seen why that the doctrine of sanctification or holiness has been discarded, and we've injected a lot of this modern mess, which is just sin and confess it and go on. Well, it don't work. I know it works in churches and it works with preachers, and these modern Christians work it, but God don't accept it. We've got to accept what the Lord accepts, and we're going to be judged by the Word of God and not by the perverted and, these scriptures that have been twisted and turned around and misquoted, and we've heard parts of scriptures, and we've heard a lot of men's theories and their points of view, and these old perverted paraphrased Bibles and other things that have completely obliterated the great message of sanctification, which is holiness in God's true Word. To begin with, a scripture found in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verses, 12 and 13. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. So we see here that the Lord suffered without the gate to sanctify the people with his own blood. And they don't stop there at verse 12, verse 13, and both verses go together. Because after you're sanctified, he says, then let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp. That means out away from the church, out from the company of believers, when you have to stand alone, bearing his reproach. And you'll suffer reproach if you're sanctified. Because that's what the Bible said, or meant, from the great apostle Paul's warning in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and verse 12, where he said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, whenever you live a sanctified life, you're going to suffer persecution. There's no ifs, ands, maybes, buts, perhaps. It will be that way. And the Bible says in Romans 3 and 4, let God be true and every man a liar. So if we lived a holy and sanctified life, we will suffer persecution because the world will reject you. And Jesus made the statement many times. He said, don't marvel, brethren, if the world hates you, but just remember it hated me before it hated you. And the world will hate you if you're sanctified, not born again. Now, we're living in an age where born again seems to take the whole attention off of the rest of the Word of God. People say, That man's born again, and he lives just like the world accepts him. Well, that goes down from, starts at the president and goes on down to the mayor and governor and many officials and Hollywood entertainers and gospel singers and great professors of being born again among the businessmen and women of America and so forth. And all of these people live like the world. The world accepts them with open arms. They're banquet circuit speakers. They can get a big congregation and tickle their ears and entertain them. But I want you to know that when we look up at what happened to sanctify you and I, it was not entertaining. The Bible said Jesus suffered without the gate and shed his blood to sanctify us. I don't see nothing entertaining about that myself. You can't entertain people into getting them sanctified. You can't make people holy telling them jokes from the pulpit. You can't sing them into being sanctified. It takes a definite experience of the Holy Ghost from the blood of Jesus Christ and its efficacious work on the soul and the heart and the spirit of man. For the Bible tells us we must be sanctified wholly and not just partly. Let's take a look at that great scripture from the Holy Ghost in 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning in verse 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And then it tells you how to do that. Verse 23 and 24. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Praise God. I like that, because the blood of Jesus just don't come and save your heart when he sanctifies you. See, when you're born again, it just goes to your heart. My Lord, it's got to go further than that. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you mean to tell me we can be preserved blameless? What does the word preserve mean? It means to hold the status quo, to keep something in its original form. To, you know, like you freeze something. If you freeze a piece of meat in the freezer, you don't want to go back there and it all rancid. That's not preserved. If you put jelly or fruit or vegetables in your cans, that is, in your jars, to preserve them, they remain the same until you open them and warm them and prepare them for your family's meal. That's exactly what the Lord's saying here. He said, I want you sanctified wholly. Your spirit, your soul, and body, so you'll be preserved. Praise God. I want you kept like that. I want you to be the same. Well, listen, if you're going to be sanctified and preserved blameless and have your spirit, body, and soul all made blameless and holy, it takes a definite work of grace to accomplish that purpose of God upon our lives. There must be a starting point, and that has to be an experience of grace. That's why sanctification is still a definite work of grace. After you're born again, that is, your heart has been washed from an evil conscience. That's after your sins are forgiven. That's after you put on the new nature of Jesus Christ. That's not the end. That's only the beginning. That's only the first step into the great grace of God. The next step is sanctification. And, well, after you're sanctified, you can't stop there. My Lord, if you're going to keep sanctified, you got to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Get filled with the Spirit. Praise God. And that's the third work of God's grace in a believer's life. Now, we must go on with the Lord and be preserved blameless. That means be preserved to where you don't have to get out and sin every day. That's what the Bible meant in 1 John 3 and 6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. You're not going to abide in Christ unless you are sanctified. You're going to be in and out and in and mostly out. For if you abide in Christ, you can't have sin in your life and abide in him. There's no way, because the Bible's true and every man's a liar if anybody speaks differently than the Word of God. So we've got to abide in him. Now, little children, abide in him. 1 John 2:27 says. The Bible says again about this abiding in him in John 15 and 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. In John 8:32, Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Then in verse 34, he says, but the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son shall therefore make you free, ye shall be free indeed. free from sin. Well, the only way to be free from sin and to quit sinning is to be sanctified. And that's to go on past just that little old born-again experience that is your first step toward being fully in God's grace. In the little book of Jude, Jude was the apostle who was the brother of Jesus Christ.